Chapter 9.
Hello, Chalk Rabbit, Clodagh said.
She gently placed the case on the floor of the cell and pasted on a fake smile. Behind it, her body was betraying her. Tears pricked at her eyes as her heart yammered and her nerves buzzed with adrenaline. All she wanted to do was run, because there was no good, safe, well-meaning reason for Clodagh to be on Vashka. She hadn't even told him it was her destination. She couldn't move. She couldn't get out of the cell. Not with him outside blocking it.
Nice to see you too, old man.
He didn't move, but his grin grew wider.
Let me help you with that case, kid.
And that's when Bazine knew for certain. Why do they call you Narglatch? She asked, voice flat. He didn't skip a beat.
Because I'm a solitary hunter. Now give me the case.
His favorite blaster appeared, and he winked his one good eye.
Please.
When she didn't reach for it, he added,
Don't count on our history, kid. I could just as easily shoot you and take it anyway.
Her throat went tight as she reached for the metal box.
Just kick it over. Your weapons, too, including the throwing knives. I know you have at least 5 hidden on you somewhere. If I see your fingers twitch, you'll lose an arm. It's not set on stun.
She gave a bitter laugh.
It never is.
With his blaster aimed for her face, she tossed out 7 throwing knives and kicked her blaster, her blade, and the case away with her boot. Clodagh swept her weapons to the ground, pulled the case out into the light, and inspected it just as she had. Her mission, her case, the one she'd pulled from the skeleton hand of a corpse. She'd almost forgotten the body of Tribulus trapped like her in the apodactyl cell. Even as her heart broke to know her savior, mentor, and friend had betrayed her, still, her mind was cataloging the contents of the chamber, remembering the shine of a knife in the pile of goods, and a carefully wrapped length of rope on the body's hip. Most of the dead man's belongings, Night Drifter had said. There had to be plenty of things here she could use as a weapon, if she only had an opening.
Good job,
Clodagh said, and her head jerked up.
I appreciate you doing all the work for me. And taking Ori off my hands, too. Bastard asks too many questions, doesn't he?
He was busy with something outside the cell, moving around and bending over.
Sorry about your friend out here,
he said.
All that armor, and it only took 1 punch to the skull to put him down. Guess I've still got a good right hook, huh? Old, but still has a kick.
Can I come out now?
She asked, trying to put worry and vulnerability into her voice.
It had worked on him a little when she'd been a youngling.
He bent to smirk at her.
Nice try, kid. But I know all your moves. I'm the one who taught them to you. So you just sit tight, and let's make sure you won't follow me.
She knew he wanted her to ask what he meant, and so she remained stubbornly silent. The old man whistled his favorite tune as he used Night Drifter's lighter to fire up one of his fat cigars and puff thoughtfully. With a grunt, he lifted 1 slab of wax back into place, holding it over the hole with 1 hand while he melted the edges with the lighter. The warm, cloying smell of wax merged with the rot of death to tighten the ball of dread in Bazine's stomach.
Look, kid, don't blame yourself. You have no idea what's in this case, do you? This was all part of a long game, playing for the biggest score of all. I needed a patsy, and they're pretty easy to find in a Chaco City orphanage. You had a decent life, right? I taught you plenty. Let you run wild right up until this job finally came around and I needed you. Didn't even know you had a tracker on you, did you? If you were on Choctaw, I could always find you. And I can always find the Sparrowhawk.
He bent to pick up the next slab, and Basine bared her teeth. He wanted her to hurt. She could feel it in every word like a knife in the back. She'd known he was a bit of a sadist, but he'd never shown that side to her before. She wouldn't give him the satisfaction of tears, of whimpers, of begging. He thought he knew everything about her. She'd teach him something new. For now, she slit her eyes with rage as he sealed the last slab of wax over the tomb and melted the jagged crack where it had broken. The light filtered through, golden orange, not quite dark enough to merit her goggles.
"You were the perfect weapon,"
he said, voice slightly muffled.
"Beautiful, angry, cold, damaged. As long as I killed everyone you tried to get close to, you kept pushing yourself harder. Kept you on your toes. That little kid you befriended at the market, that featherweight you let in your bed, they slowed you down."
He thumped the wax with a fist, and it didn't budge.
"So you can understand why I don't want to kill you myself. This way, at least I can pretend that you're still scrapping."
She heard his bones pop as he bent to pick up her blade and blaster.
"You'll never see me again, but we were never the sort for sappy goodbyes. I hear suffocating's not too bad a way to go."
And then his metal stump was clanking down the hall, taking TK-1472's case with him.